On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Sweet Tuesday morning came a new smile.
Tuesday. Girl in the cut, she Tuesday.
Sun comes up, it's Tuesday morning.
Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday. Who could hang a name on you?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program, it is the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am? It's a pleasure to have you here. It's my pleasure, actually. Well, actually, it's your pleasure. It's not really mine. I have better things to do, and so do you. So, under the circumstances, this is pretty cool. How was your Memorial Day weekend? I know. Me too. I know. Welcome to the show. Thanks for being here. We do this every single weekday, unless it's a holiday like yesterday was, in which case I'm stuffing my face with hot dogs. Don't bother me. That's what I did on Saturday. I went to my favorite hot dog place and had three chili dogs. I know. It's amazing I'm still alive for many reasons. The chili dog reason is one of the factors involved. Thank you so much for being here. You have no idea. Well, actually, you don't have an idea, so let's just forget that. I have a great guest coming up a little bit later in the program. Sorry, I had to clear my throat. These allergies are driving me nuts. I'm like a phlegm factory. I mean, I'm producing more phlegm than they are baby formula. Let's not go there. Baby formula. We're out of baby formula. What? How am I supposed to feed my baby? I really don't know. Wow, that's something. How did that happen? Everybody blames everybody else. It's just we're out of baby formula. I mean, you got too many babies. That's pretty much what it is. No, Ron, there was a recall back earlier in the year, and they're still trying to catch up. It's a supply chain. We're blaming everything on the supply chain. My girlfriend broke up with me. Why? Were you not giving her enough attention? No, it's the supply chain. What does that mean? I don't know. But it's an excuse, and we all use it. It's the supply chain. I'm depressed today. Why? Did you have a bad day? No, it's the supply chain. I don't even know what you're talking about. We use excuses forever. Everything, for a while, everything was COVID. It's COVID. Then COVID caused the supply chain problem, so it's still COVID's fault. That's why when you try to contact a company, they don't call you back. When you call somebody, call a company, they put you on hold for 3 hours to speak to somebody. It's all COVID's fault. It's all, now it's the supply chain. Still COVID's fault, though. I was so wrong about the COVID thing. I thought when the COVID thing was over and everything opened up again, that people would just, there'd be just like dancing in the streets. No one's dancing. No one's dancing yet. No one's dancing. Anyway, later on in the show, Natalie Jacobson joins me. You may not be familiar with the name if you live outside of the New England area. That was not easy to say. New England area. She was a newscaster, news producer, journalist, television host, you name it, for the New England area for decades and decades. Makes her, you know, it's funny when you're saying something complimentary about somebody, like, well, yeah, she did that for decades and decades. Oh, wow, that's amazing. That's an incredible legacy. But somehow when you say decades and decades, it's like, oh, all right, let's not go there. That doesn't sound great for my youth. Hey, I've been doing this radio show for decades and decades. What does that say about me? Uh-huh. Anyway, she's iconic. Her name, her life has been put into a book, memoirs, and she presents it to us. It's a story of getting through it and yet enjoying and being rewarded by what you do. You'll hear all about it toward the end of the program. Natalie joins us today, and we thank her so much for doing so. We do recommend her book. It's fascinating. You know, it's funny, the phrase that I grew up with you, I hear that all the time because I've been doing this for decades and decades. And I was doing television before this and still dabbling in it. But I used to get that all the time and I still do. Oh, Ron, I grew up with your show. All right, fine. Are you about ready to bury me now? I mean, come on. Makes me feel old. I grew up with you. Well, that's nice for you. I don't know who the hell you are. I'm glad you grew up with me. I don't even know you. But that's fine. Let's leave it like that. All right. Anyway, yesterday was Memorial Day. I hope that you spent just some point over the weekend thinking about those that sacrifice themselves for this country. That's why all the flags were all over the place, just in case you weren't sure. I did have my hot dogs. That's a Memorial Day, July 4th, Labor Day. I must eat hot dogs. They are the worst food for you ever. We don't know what's in a hot dog, but we eat it anyway. That's kind of the opposite of people who were supposed to be vaccinated against the COVID. I don't want to take the vaccination because I don't really know what's in it. But you eat hot dogs and you have no idea what's in that. And yet a hot dog will not save your life. The COVID booster and the COVID shot could. So we're an odd bunch of people, aren't we? We don't make sense. As a society, we don't make sense. Love each other. We are full of love. No, have you met other people? We're not full of love. We're full of war. We're full of hate. Yeah, you know, the verbiage sounds wonderful. If we could just live up to what we say, that would be really nice. Okay, fine. Let's keep the show on a nice level. Yesterday, I grabbed my weed whacker. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I have a weed whacker, and I think I bought the weed whacker just to be able to say that. But I do have a weed whacker, and yesterday, I went to my backyard with the weed whacker, and I whacked my weeds. I don't know if children should be hearing this. I had some overgrown grass way in the back of my backyard, and I whacked it, baby. I whacked that weed. I was wearing long pants. I had my arms covered. I put mosquito spray on me. I backed up a truckload of SPF, and I covered myself in that. And I was so protected. I wore everything but a hazmat suit, because I know I'm going to a part of my yard that has tall grass, and therefore we have the gnats and the bugs and the mosquitoes. So I whacked my weeds for about 5 minutes, and I got that all done, and I put the weed whacker back in the weed whacker storage area. And then about 3 hours later, I am covered with mosquito bites. And when I say covered, I actually mean the word covered. I am sitting here scratching every part of my body, and not in a joyous manner. I had to run to CVS to buy bug spray, anti-itch spray. I don't know what the hell it is. CVS has its own brand of everything. And I bought the thing, and I went up to the counter, and I paid for it, and I got my CVS Dead Sea Scrolls. Yes, even the kid behind the register who checked me out, man, actually, he was checking me out. He says, "Do you want a receipt?" And I said, "Sure. I mean, you're offering something. I will take it." And the receipt started to print, and even the guy behind the counter was amazed that so much paper was being used. I believe that my receipt represented 6 or 7 trees. It was... And my CVS receipt was full of things that I will never buy. I thought the receipt was supposed to recognize your buying pattern and give you coupons accordingly. No, not mine. Here's some great sales, Ron. You get 40% off of stuff you'll never buy. Yes, I don't need eyeliner. I don't need Maybelline eyeliner. I'm a guy. I'm not Charlie Chaplin. I don't need eyeliner. Yes, Ron, but 40% off in your Dead Sea Scroll receipt. I know. My CVS receipt is my version of the Torah. It's got everything on it except the stuff I need to know about. It was awful. Of course, I had to show my CVS card. Without that, we really shouldn't be alive. I don't know what's on that card, but I flash it and I feel like I'm now... I'm getting into a high security area. So, what's your name, please? Ron Van Dam. Your card, please. Here's my card. Scan my card. You can scan my eyeballs. That should be able to get me into the discount area here. It's amazing, that place, CVS. So I get home and I start spraying my body with this anti-itch spray. It was awful. The spray wasn't awful. The mosquitoes. It's the female mosquitoes. You know, male mosquitoes don't bite. Just the females, I believe it is. Yeah, really? I know. So I'm getting home. I go to my computer. Every once in a while, when I have absolutely nothing to do, I will waste time in front of my computer screen searching for things to occupy my time, especially on holidays. And there's an email from CVS. Did I do something wrong? Am I being chastised? I open up the email, and it says, "Thank you for shopping CVS." Well, how'd you know so fast? I just got home. Would you please take this short survey? Look. I just wanted to buy a bottle of anti-itch spray. Now I've got to fill out a survey. Were the people in the store friendly to you? Nobody's friendly to me. We don't need a survey for this. Did you find everything you were looking for? No. No, I'm looking for happiness, contentment, and social resolve. I don't know what aisle you have that stuff in, but I couldn't find it. and I have yet to find it within my life. And then they asked me at the end of the survey how old I am, what color my skin is, which I thought you're not supposed to be able to ask, but on a CVS survey, it's perfectly fine. They don't ask you how old you are. They ask you your age range. And, of course, we all grow older, and it becomes more painful to admit the range of the age that we're actually in. So I lie. I'm in my 20s. I'm not, but for survey purposes, I'm going to make myself feel good, at least for a little while. And that was my day yesterday. Fulfilling? Not really. Did I survive? Yes, it did. I also went to the movies yesterday because it was damn hot where I live. It was 90 degrees in New England yesterday. I live in the greater New England area. 90 degrees. I'm not putting up with that crap. I'm not going outside to sweat and then have mosquitoes come after me. So I went to the movies. And I saw that Downton Avenue or Downtown Abbey or something, that British thing. I had never seen the show. I've never seen any of the previous movies. I know they speak with an accent and they live in large palaces. And actually, the movie wasn't that bad. It wasn't that good, but it wasn't that bad. It was 2.5 hours long. Oh my God. 2.5 hours. Do you know how to edit a film? 2.5 hours. But the place was air conditioned, and that's really all I really cared to pay for. But it wasn't so bad. I wouldn't say I'm a fan of the Downton. Is it Downtown or Downton? I don't even know. I don't even know. I'm not a fan. My reaction was, it's not that bad. And that, to me, is really all you're shooting for in life, right? Oh, how was your day yesterday? Well, it was not that bad. Well, that's great. That's all I shoot for. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Natalie Jacobson will be joining us right after this.
Give the gift that says, I love you. The gift that says, happy birthday. The gift that says, get well soon. The gift that says, you're the reason I went into the priesthood. The gift that says, congratulations on not getting indicted. The gift that says, I want to cover you in warm chocolate pudding. The gift that says, good luck in clown college. The gift that says, thanks for removing my unsightly wart. The gift that says, sorry about giving you food poisoning. The gift that says, I'll see you in hell. The gift that says, remember the good times we had in prison. The gift that says, I want to make sweet love to you on the white sand beaches of Rio while your hot cousin watches. The gift that says, thank you for the kidney. The gift that says, you deserve all the best, but this will have to do. The gift that says, thanks, Jesus. Whatever you want to say, you can say it beautifully with a timeless gift from Phyllis Gorman's House of Macaroni Art on Route 94 just past the Rotary, across from Sweaty Palmer's Adult Emporium.
Well, thank you, Natalie, and thank you to you for being here today. I'll be back again. Natalie Jacobson joins us now. She is an iconic newscaster, journalist, host in the Boston area, and those that lived in that area know her name and know what she's done. Thanks for being with us today, Natalie.
Well, thank you for having me. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you so much. Her memoir has been released, Every Life a Story. And it goes through her career and how she got to where she is. And it's a celebration, actually. And you must be thrilled about this.
Well, I'm glad to get it behind me, although writing it was easy compared with trying to promote it and sell it and all of that.
Yeah, that's what everybody says.
I don't know anything about publishing, but what I learned is that if you're a local person, you have a hard time trying to find an agent. And
yes.
So I never did, so I ended up self-publishing.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, I'm glad you did that then.
Yeah, well, I've had some nice response to it. It's really I look at it as a conversation that just continues with people that I've been lucky enough to report about and meet and get to know over so many years in Boston and New England.
Yeah, we have some things in common as far as our longevity in the business. And there are two things that stand out that you did miraculously well. And that was, one of them was interviewing, which is a blessing because you not only meet thousands of people in the course of your career, but you actually become somewhat intimate with them. And that's a blessing, and you did it so well.
Well, thank you for saying that. I have to say that that's maybe my favorite part, or one of my favorite parts of being a broadcast journalist, mm-hmm. is meeting so many people. Everyone's interesting, hence the title, Every Life a Story. Mm-hmm. I meant that. You know, everybody has something to contribute to their community, to their family, to their country. And I'm a person who loves to get to the why of things. So why did you decide to do that? And why did you make that decision, whoever you are?
Yeah.
So I love interviewing, and thank you for the compliment. That makes me feel good. I appreciate it.
Well, it actually helps everybody because we're talking to a series of thousands of experts on thousands of topics, and we're all educated accordingly. And when you engage in that, you come out at like a real full person. So thank you for that, first of all.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Secondly is something that I've gone through, which is also a blessing, where you'll be walking down the street and people stop you and say, hey, I grew up with you. You were part of my life on a daily basis. Wow, what a compliment that is.
Yes, it is. It really is. And it makes you feel so warm and so comfortable, yeah. because that was my attitude about what we did. We started, you know, when TV was nothing. It was just beginning. Mm-hmm. So we were the pioneers of it. What is his local TV saying? What are we supposed to be? What are we supposed to do? And it was pretty clear to all of us. I worked with extraordinary people and lucky to have the management we had, that we were part of the community. We weren't doing a TV show. We were news people. We were gathering information while you were doing your thing, whatever your thing is. Maybe you're an electrician or a plumber or running a small company or a teacher or a fireman, policeman. And so you're busy doing your part for the community. Well, here's our part. We're gathering information and telling you about it. So it was one happy family. I used to think of our viewers not as viewers, but as our neighbors. And I think my colleagues shared that opinion.
Yeah, the happy family was the base of that, were the people that you were working with. I know that they were friends, and you spent basically most of your life with these people, and that makes it family.
That is, but yeah, the family was certainly the people that I worked with, mm-hmm. and the people to whom and for whom we were broadcasting. Yeah, it was wonderful.
Yeah. It was an interesting time, though, because millennials don't understand that there weren't that many stations. when you turned on the TV, which everybody did, you were watching a small choice of places to go, which was wonderful.
That's right.
Wonderful for the media back then, because
it also contributed to that whole attitude about family, Ron.
Yeah.
Excuse me, because we were all kind of in the same boat, you know, together, and. And it had its advantage, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Today you don't know who's talking to you. You know, you look at, you Google
no
something
idea.
or you know, Instagram, all of the social media stuff that people have today.
Yeah.
People can say anything, true or not,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I caution people, while that can be a lovely thing, who doesn't love Google to find an answer to something quickly? But be careful. Be sure. Take a look. Who's writing? Who's the source?
You're right.
I often say your information is only as good as your source.
Yeah, I that wasn't an issue when we were growing up. That the news was the news, and nobody really opinion. There were no comments and analysis of any great extent. It was basically what's going on.
Yeah, and it was labeled when it was presented that way. And there's something to be said for all of that. Of course, people's opinions and their explanation of them help you to think through things.
But it
needs to be labeled as this is my opinion, which is not being done today.
Exactly. I mean, things were just as weird and dangerous back then. It's just that now we get so many opinions of it becomes confusing and Now you carry it with you. Anyway, let's not get into that. When you started out, you were not like incredibly American and getting on the air and all this. You had the, I mean, you weren't born in the country necessarily, do I understand?
Oh, no, no, no. I'm an American. I was born here, and so were my parents. My grandparents came from Serbia.
Okay. All right. So, but you had to overcome a lot of things in order to get to where you were.
Well, there were no women in TV. You know, I couldn't even get an appointment with Channel 4, 5, and 7 for an interview. They just said they just didn't hire girls back then. So that was the time of... That was a period of time in our history when women were struggling to try to get an opportunity to go to work. You know, I get it because of my own background and age. You know, my mother was a stay-at-home mom with four kids. My dad was the guy who went to work. So raising children and all that goes with the family was left to the woman. So I was part of the generation where we wanted it. We wanted more. We wanted both family and careers. And that was a transitionary time, which I write about in the book. And I'm sure many women can relate to it. And the young people who can't relate to it, when I talk to them, they say, wow, it's interesting to know that. Because it's good to know how you got to today, you know?
It is.
But, of course, I'm a history buff, so.
All right. The other thing I wanted to talk about is the fact that your personal life was – pretty much a part of what you did professionally, to the point where your husband was even a partner on television. And again, many of your friends were indeed fellow broadcasters. So it was all out there. Was that a problem at any given point, that your personal life was so mixed?
Absolutely. It was very difficult initially for me to accept that. I don't know. I never thought about the fact that if you were a TV reporter, you were obviously a public person. It just didn't occur to me. I mean, don't call me stupid. But then as life went on, and our viewers were so kind to me when I was sick, when my mother got sick and died, when I had a baby, when things happened in my life and in our lives, Chet's, when we were married, of course, too, I really stopped seeing it as an intrusion in my private life. And rather, I just accepted people as part of how fortunate I was to have them be part of my life. And so that changed. And yes, but it's like anything in life, Ron, right? You know, there's the plus and the minus of anything. Mm-hmm. So the plus was that I was comforted by the kindness of so many people, especially when Mom died. And then... the other side of it is when Chet and I went through our difficulties and ended up ending our marriage, right. I didn't want to share that with the world, but you don't have a choice. And I didn't have a choice. We didn't have a choice. Right. And it was difficult. And everyone had an opinion, of course. Nobody knows what goes on in anyone's marriage. But if you're a public person, everyone thinks they know everything about you. Yeah. So I was worried about the children, especially Lindsay, our daughter, and... But, you know, you get through it. I felt I had to include at least some comment about that in the book for the very reasons I've just explained.
Exactly. Well, we can't talk forever. I wish we could. But fortunately, there is the book, Every Life, a Story. It is available everywhere.
It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It should be in local bookstores, but who knows? You know, I'm not the salesman.
Oh, it's pretty much
but
everywhere.
You can certainly get it online. And I also recorded an audio version of it. So you can, I know people like to do audio books, so there's that. And there's an ebook version. So you got it all three ways.
Excellent. Is there, in this day of websites, if someone wanted to catch up on what's going on, do you have that?
I don't have a website. I know. You know, I suppose I should. But I'd need some young whippersnapper to tell me how to do that.
I'm sure there are plenty of whippersnappers around you that would be happy to do that for you.
Yeah. Well, then I'd like to talk to them.
Well, you know, people have been connected to you through their lives, so why not continue?
That's awfully nice, Ron. Thanks. Great. You're very kind. I hope you enjoyed the book.
Very, very much so, and I do recommend it for everybody, whether you lived in the Boston area or not. It is a great story, and it's a feel good and a congratulations kind of memoir.
I hope it's uplifting to people. Thank you.
It is. Every Life a Story. Look it up. Go for it, Natalie. A pleasure speaking to you. Well, that'll do it for me today. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much to Natalie Jacobson. I do recommend her book, especially if you live in the New England area. You will find it fascinating. And it's like, you know, hearing from an old friend. Yeah, it is. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, I wish you peace.